Sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. It's an educational service in the public interest. I'm your host, George Gordon. Now, the Law Hour is heard live 7 days a week, daily, on the World Wide Web. For more information about the Law Hour and the Gordon Law School, please go to my website. It's georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour brings you important information about law news, education, medicine, economics, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on aspartame poisoning. We'll take a look at caffeine in our soda pop right after this. Well, back in 1970, the world food supply was about 73 days for every man, woman, and child on planet Earth. Today, it's down to less than 38 days. Now, we produce grain for export, but then we turn around and import grapes from Chile, tomatoes from Mexico, berries from Guatemala, and our food supply is in the hands of foreigners and multinational corporations who support this Global 2000 population reduction program. Now, globalization may be good for business, but globalization is bad for you and it's bad for me. In 1940, we Americans all had a pantry full of food to feed our families for at least a year. Today, we Americans have a three-day food supply in our refrigerators, and we believe fervently in our supermarket system of just-in-time delivery to feed us. So over the past 60 years, we've traded a one-year food supply for everybody in the country for a three-day food supply, and we're now dependent upon the multinationals for delivery of that food. And these global 2000 mad scientists, philosophers, preachers, and politicians plan to use famine, plague, disease, and pestilence to reduce the Earth's population by 90% over the next 50 years, or so reports the Club of Rome. Now, these evil madmen with their Global 2000 genocide agenda have a cause that they're willing to die for, and I say let them die for their cause, but let you and I live for our cause. Now, let me show you from the Scripture how to be a live survivor instead of a dead victim. Now, to learn more, why don't you call and order my free General Law CD package first. That's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. It's educational, informative, it's entertaining, and best of all, it's free of charge. The number to call to order your free General Law CD package is 417-273-4967. And my subsistence and survival school is also available on compact disc for adult home study. If you're online, go to the website. It's georgegordon.org. Click onto the email machine. Send me an email request for that free General Law CD package. Remember, that's georgegordon.org or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, we've been talking about aspartame, the chemical sweeteners that have been put into about 5,000 products in this series of programs. And that led us then to the real thing. If artificial sweeteners are bad for us, what about the real artificial, real sweeteners, that is, the sugar that we put in? We're taking a look at that and finding that, hey, that sugar isn't so good either. Which now leads us to the next topic, which is caffeine. Why are we putting caffeine into our soda pop? Well, as we discovered in the last program, Coca-Cola, Pepsi-Cola, and many other of these popular soft drinks contain caffeine. Caffeine is a mildly addictive stimulant drug that'll keep consumers coming back for more. We're putting drugs into these food supplies, these junk foods like MSG, tastes good. Sugar, tastes good. Caffeine makes us feel good or taste good, and we keep coming back to buy these products so that we can get a hit, get a fix of the drugs that we're being fed. America has been turned into a drug-addicted society, and we take these drugs through our food. Now, these drugs are toxic poisons. In our water supply, the city sends us water that is laced with chlorine and fluoride, both deadly toxic poisons. Then we go to buy diet soda pop or diet this or diet that or low-fat this or that, and it's got aspartame, sucralose, or some other artificial sweetener in it, which is a toxic substance, which is a poison. We will buy foods that have natural flavoring, MSG, this MSG with natural flavoring, and a whole host and plethora of other cover names to make it taste good. It's an enhanced flavor, and that's toxic and poison. Over the past 100 years, we Americans have witnessed our health declining precipitously. In the field of cancer, in 1900, your chances of getting cancer were 1 in 33. Today, it's 1 out of 2. By the year 2020, they tell us it'll be 1 out of 1. Statistically, everybody is going to get cancer at some point in their life. Now, if cancer, heart attack, stroke, diabetes, Parkinson's disease, muscular dystrophy, multiple sclerosis, and on with these degenerative diseases was our goal, if that's where we wanted to get to, we've arrived. We're the sickest nation in the world. Sickest nation in the world with the best health care system in the world, the envy of everybody. And, of course, we have the best health care system in the world. We're the sickest nation in the world, and we need it. And we've got it. And we pay for it. We pay for it through our insurance system. But we've sacrificed a tremendous amount, don't you think? Health for profit. Health for it feels good today and let the devil take the hindmost tomorrow. Now let's take a look at this caffeine that the junk food manufacturers are putting into our food. I mean, after all, if it tastes good, I guess we ought to find out why. If we're being turned into drug addicts, I guess we ought to find out how. Now, for comparison, an 8-ounce cup of brewed coffee has 135 milligrams of caffeine. An 8-ounce cup of instant coffee has 95 milligrams. An 8-ounce cup of tea has 50 milligrams. And you got that? 50, 135, or 95 milligrams. Okay, well, Pepsi One has 55 milligrams. Mountain Dew has 55. Diet Coke has 42. Dr. Pepper has 40. Now, when we get down here to Minute Maid Orange Soda has zero, Sprite has zero, and 7-Up has zero caffeine. Now, a study funded by the National Institute on Drug Abuse found that despite claims, caffeine cannot be detected as a flavor. And it suggests that it's more about addiction than flavor. So caffeine doesn't have any flavor. Then why do these companies put it in? They put it in for the addiction. The marketing parallels between nicotine and caffeine are pretty stunning. Now, Roland Griffins is a PhD. He directed the research. He said that both nicotine and caffeine are addicting. They're both psychoactive drugs. And until recently, cigarette companies denied that nicotine is addicting and said it was added merely as a flavor enhancer for cigarettes. Added? Wait a minute. I thought nicotine was found naturally in tobacco. What if the tobacco that we're growing doesn't have enough nicotine in it? Well, then we add nicotine to the tobacco for its addicting qualities. It will addict you to the cigarette. After all, we're selling packages for $3, these little packages with the cigarettes in them. We need to get you to keep coming back for more. There's just nothing better than having you addicted to a drug, is there? All right, now until recently, cigarette companies denied then that this nicotine was addicting, and they said it was added as a flavor. That's what the soda pop companies are saying about the caffeine. We're adding it as a flavor. It doesn't have any flavor at all. Now, caffeine in colas, the real thing isn't the taste, press release of August 2000. Griffiths also said, I'd like to see the soft drink industry come out of denial about the role of caffeine in their products. They're adding a mildly addictive, mood-altering drug, one which surely accounts for the fact that people drink far more sodas with caffeine than without. Now, that comes from Caffeine and Colas, the Real Thing Isn't the Taste, press release of August 2000. Research has shown that the dose of caffeine delivered in a single can of soft drink is sufficient to produce mood and behavioral effects. That's Dr. Roland Griffiths. Now, Dr. John Greeden, he's the head of psychiatry at the University of Michigan, has dubbed the combination of agitation, disorientation, nervousness, twitching, recurrent headaches, and gastrointestinal disturbances, caffeineism, which he says can be misdiagnosed as anxiety neurosis. Anxiety neurosis. Now, in fruit drinks, the Coca-Cola Company, PepsiCo, Procter & Gamble, and other companies market non-carbonated drinks that pretend to be rich in fruit juice and nutrients, but are basically sugar water. Sugar water. Coca-Cola Company's Fruitopia and Hi-C, for example, contain 5 to 10% fruit juice, but they contain about as much or more sugar as carbonated soda pop. So don't be fooled by the vitamin C or other nutrients added to these products. They're still basically junk foods. Now, here are some examples of junk food juices and the juice content of the fruit drinks. Minute Maid, 27% juice content. Ocean Spray, 20%. Tropicana Twister, 13%. Hi-C, 10%. Hawaiian Punch, 5%. Sunny Delight, 5%. Fruitopia, 5%. Fruit Works, 3%. Gatorade, Crystal Light, and Kool-Aid have zero juice content. Now, the average of an entire line of juice beverages, Tropicana and Minute Maid names, also used on 100% juice products. So there are some juice products out there like Tropicana and Minute Maid names. They're also used on products that contain 100% juice products, and so the way you tell is simply by looking at the label. Now let's take a look at calories and obesity. Frequent consumption of calorie-rich soft drinks produces weight gain. And calorie content of carbonated non-diet soft drinks. You take a look at the Minute Maid Orange Soda. Calories, 180. Mountain Dew, 165. Dr. Pepper, 160. Pepsi, 150. Coca-Cola Classic, Sprite, Coca-Cola, 7-Up, all contain 140. Now, when we take a look at obesity, calories from liquids like soft drinks don't seem to register as food in the same way that solid candy, like jelly beans, do. Well, now, that means consuming soft drinks with your meal instead of water or another calorie-free beverage could really make a difference to your weight and waistline. Beverages are a huge contributor to obesity, researcher Richard Mentes told CSPI's Nutrition Action Health newsletter. They're major players that often get overlooked. Now, we're becoming a more overweight population. We're less active, and we are also getting somewhat older. So if you put all of these factors together, we're seeing a chronic disease epidemic occurring right before our eyes. Dr. Frank Vinicor, he's the director of the Diabetes Division of the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, and this comes from the Diabetes Reaches Record Levels, published by AP 1031-97. Now, 61% of all Americans are considered overweight by the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, and over a quarter of those are classified as obese or grossly overweight. So 61% of Americans are overweight, and 15% of Americans overall are grossly overweight. That's not good. Going on, the chances of children becoming obese increase with each additional glass of sugar-sweetened drink that they consumed per day. Now, according to the National Center for Health Statistics, the percentage of children who are overweight has tripled since 1970, with the larger increase in children aged 6 to 11. Diabetes, a disease correlated with inactivity and being overweight, has increased sixfold in the United States since 1958. Now, worldwide, the number of people with diabetes is expected to double by 2025. Do you get that? Worldwide, the number of people with diabetes is expected to double over the next 20 years. Now, that's worldwide. Now, we Americans have doubled our diabetes rate in this country over the past 20 years. At the same time, we doubled our consumption of soda pop. The correlation works not just in the United States, but it works all over the world. So at some point in time, I guess we have to make a choice. Let's take a look at the environment. Americans drink more water carbonated in soda than they drink plain from the tap. Now, what that means is that Americans would prefer to drink Pepsi-Cola than to drink water. Now, here's the problem with it. An Iranian doctor discovered, he wrote this in a book called Your Body's Cries, or maybe it was called Your Body's Many Cries for Water. And he pointed out that water, when you drink it, pure, clean, wholesome water, goes right through your stomach into your bloodstream and right out to your cells, and it gives those cells the water that they need. When you drink Coca-Cola, it doesn't. It goes into your digestive tract, and then it is filtered out, goes through your kidneys, and you urinate. It doesn't get out to your cells. You're drinking all this water, but it's not getting out to the cells in your body. Now, that's what happens when you drink soda pop, tea, coffee, and other beverages as opposed to water. You need to drink a half a gallon of water a day, even by itself. Then if there's any room left, drink some Minute Maid orange juice. But remember that the water is not getting out to your cells unless you're drinking water. The fact that Coca-Cola is 99% water is irrelevant. Here's another fact. Baking syrup is the second largest use of corn in North America. Feeding livestock is the largest. On average, Americans consume 48 pounds of corn syrup per year. 48 pounds corn syrup per year. In 1999 in the United States, 70 billion soft drinks were packaged in cans, 25 billion were packaged in PET bottles, and 800 million were packaged in glass bottles. In 1999, the post-consumer recycling rate for soft drink containers was 55%. And nearly 53 billion soft drink containers were recycled in 1999. In 1999, 44 billion cans and bottles from soft drinks were thrown into landfills, and given the Coca-Cola company's 44% market share, that means that 19 billion cans and bottles with Coca-Cola labels were wasted. 53.8 million a day, that's 37,000 every minute. Now, these Coca-Cola company bottles and cans represent enough energy to light 1.47 million homes, a city about the size of Los Angeles, for an entire year. Just Coca-Cola consumes enough energy to light Los Angeles for a year. And the product that they're turning out is not fit for human consumption. It's addictive. It's got caffeine in it, and the sugar is addictive. It's a drug. The caffeine is addictive. It's a drug. So you get two drugs in the product. Nicotine, we know, is addictive. We add nicotine to cigarettes to keep you coming back so that you'll buy more of them. In reality, then, cigarettes are a drug that's being delivered in the form of a package of cigarettes. They are delivering to you your hit. They're delivering to you your drugs. And it's regulated and controlled by the FDA. Isn't that special? Now, what Americans really want is for the Food and Drug Administration to clean this mess up. They want the Food and Drug Administration to take the steps needed to protect them from these multinational corporations. So do I. The problem is the multinational corporations control the FDA, control the Department of Agriculture, and those agencies cannot protect you. Then that puts the burden squarely back on your shoulders. You have to read the labels. You have to take the time to educate yourself. You have to know what natural flavoring, what MSG is, what sugars and carbohydrates are, and what's a complex carbohydrate and a simple carbohydrate so that you can avoid these toxins and poisons in your food. You have to do that. Nobody wants to do that. Nobody wants to read labels on a bottle or on a can. Nobody wants to read a book concerning Coca-Cola and its drug addiction through caffeine. Nobody's interested in that. And as a result of that, people would prefer to argue about the safety and the nutritional quality of Coca-Cola than they would to make a change. So, for the most part, when you tell somebody, stop eating sugar and stop eating or consuming these artificial sweeteners like Equal and Sweet and Low, they look at you politely as they reach over and they pull a package of Equal out and pour it into their coffee. It's the epitome of brainwashing. It's the total subjugation of 280 million people and the bending of their beliefs to the degree that they not only will eat and consume these products, but they will defend the companies that are manufacturing them and killing them through these products. It's bizarre to say the least, but it's certainly the way the world works, and then that's the way the game is played. Now let's take a look at the last item here. Stop the pop display. In your public schools today, the public school for advertising Coke and Pepsi on the sides of the school bus, for licensing and allowing these companies to put their vending machines into the school gets a percentage of the profit that comes from it. So a kid comes to school, and instead of taking a dollar for lunch money, he has a dollar for Cokes and Pepsis, for which the school gets paid 5 or 10%. So every dollar that a kid spends in the public school buying soda pop, the school benefits from it by getting paid a commission. They don't have to do anything themselves. They don't have to buy or invest in anything. They just license the company. Let us put one in. And it's good for the teachers because they can go put a coin in the machine and they can walk out with their Coca-Cola and Pepsi-Cola. And remember, these are the teachers. The teachers drink the Coke. The teachers smoke cigarettes. What do you think the children are going to do? Children are going to do what their teachers do. Children are going to do what their parents do. Parents drink pop. Parents smoke cigarettes. Children are going to drink pop and smoke cigarettes. Now, would you like to set up a stop the pop display in your school? It's easy, and it's a great way to get students and teachers' attention about the issues surrounding soft drink consumption. The collective quantity of the materials displayed is enough to make people stop and think. Well, now, if people were responsible, some changes could probably be made. But irresponsible people in positions of authority are the problem, not the solution. Now, if you'd like to become a part of the solution, then here's what you need. 576 or more, see the notes below, empty 12-ounce cans of pop or soda pop. If your school sells soda through vending machines, it's easy to collect these. If not, ask your students to bring in empty cans from home. The sign is included with these materials for display. Number two, 15 4-pound bags of sugar or more. See the notes below. This is the amount of sugar in those 576 cans of soda pop. Now, the sign is included with these materials for display. Now, a large mattress bag or any other clear plastic bag to put cans in for display. Now, if you go to your local furniture store, you can purchase these bags for a few dollars, or you may even have them give them to you. There are various sizes of bottled and canned soda to show how sizes have changed. A good idea is to try and get a 6.5-ounce Coke bottle from the 1920s, a replica is suggested, and then go to your local committee or your local convenience store and purchase a 12-ounce can, a 20-ounce bottle, and a 1-liter bottle. The sign is included with these materials for display. And then finally, a clear plastic bag or container with 10 teaspoons of sugar inside. This is the average amount of sugar in a 12-ounce can of non-diet soda. and then the sign is included with these materials for display. So this outfit on this website will send you this display, and what they're trying to do here is to show you how many cans of pop these people are drinking. 512 is 1.6 cans of pop a day. By the time you put 512 pop cans into a bag and say, this is how much you're drinking every year, and here's how many pounds of sugar that you're consuming every year. You want to note here that the various signs are included with these materials to be used with your display. Simply print them off and then laminate or paste the form board so that you can put on your display, and you are encouraged to refer to the Stop the Pop presentation and brochure for more facts and figures that can be used in education and display materials. And what you're trying to do here is to wean young people, teenagers, off of these addictive drugs. You probably aren't going to succeed. Probably. But you might want to give it a try. It's kind of like your children, you know. You tell your children don't smoke. You probably won't succeed. They're going to go out and smoke anyway, or at least try it. My experience has always been, you can just about bet that young people are going to go out and test or try just about everything there is to test and try. So you might as well educate them in advance and tell them. Cigarettes are addictive, so if you get addicted to it, it'll be a whole lot harder to stop than it is to get started. And it's deleterious to your health, and here's why and here's how. And so that they can make an informed choice. Most of us never had a choice to make. It was simply, this is what everybody does. This is the way everybody does it. It's kind of like your marriage license. Nobody ever explained to you the legal ramifications of a marriage license. And you just went out and got one because everybody else did. It's part of the brainwashing technique. Same thing happens with soda pop. It's just there. The soda pop machine is there. And the teachers are buying their pop there. And the teachers were buying their pop. And the teachers are addicted to it just like the students are. Everybody in this institution, and that's what it's called, it's in an institution. These people are all institutionalized, and they're all drug addicts. America is a nation of institutionalized drug addicts. It's the way life is, isn't it? You were born right into it. Now, can you get out of it? That's the test. That's the challenge. In 1997, Americans spent over $54 billion to buy 14 billion gallons of soft drinks. That amount is equivalent to more than 576 12-ounce servings per year, or 1.6 12-ounce cans per day for every man, woman, and child in America. The boys 12 to 19 drink an average of almost 2.5. That's 2.5 12-ounce sodas, 28.5 ounces per day. This equates to 867 sodas each year, and the same age group if girls drink slightly less, but still large amounts. Girls 12 to 19 consume about 1.7 sodas per day, or an average of 621 sodas each year. That's the girls. Now remember, each one of these sodas contains 1 teaspoon of sugar per ounce of soda. Now, if you want your daughter to come down with diabetes, can you think of a better way to do it? If you can, it's beyond me. I think this is, without a doubt, the apex of success in creating diabetics, and that's soda pop. Train your children while they're young. The more pop they drink, the more holes they'll have in their teeth, the better their chances of developing osteoporosis, Alzheimer's disease, cardiovascular disease, and diabetes. If that's what you want, that's the way to achieve it. Hey, let's take a little break here. Let me give you a reminder. You're listening to The Law Hour, and I'm your host, George Gordon. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. All of these Law Hour programs are archived for your listening convenience on the internet at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. You know, the genocidal policy of Global 2000 and the New World Order are the greatest threats to our lives, our liberties, and our property since Noah's flood. And that's not just my opinion. You know, Jesus of Nazareth held the same view when he said in Matthew 24, verse 22, that except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved alive. You know, there are 64 life-threatening problems described in the Scripture detailing this New World Order and their Global 2000 genocide plan. The Scripture teaches preparation for the Great Tribulation, not apathy and indifference about it. Now, I say it's time that you and I wise up and start listening more to the God of Israel and stop following after all these crazy scientists, the philosophers, the preachers, and the politicians. You know, politicians like Ted Kennedy, Arlen Specter, Hillary, or that guy John in the Justice Department, and let you and I prepare to live through and survive this Global 2000 New World Order nightmare. If you'd like to do just that, why don't you call, write, or email the law school and ask for those 64 life-threatening problems from the Scriptures. And while you're at it, let's talk about formulating a real, meaningful, intelligent plan to survive Global 2000 and the other 64 life-threatening problems, which are called in the Scripture, the Great Tribulation. Now, to order yours, just call and order my free General Law CD package. That's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. It's educational, informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free. And you can call right now to order yours. The number is 417-273-4967. My Subsistence and Survival School is also available on compact disc for adult home study. If you're online, you can go to the website. It's georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org, or call direct 417-273-4967. Once in a while, somebody will write me an email or a letter, and they'll ask me, why do you call your program the Law Hour when you talk about many different topics beside law? And the answer to that is that everything that we do in life is connected with law. And what we're discussing here is law. You see, your body is regulated by law. There's only so much sugar that you can put into your body without developing or before you develop diabetes. There's only so much aspartame that your body can tolerate before you come down with Alzheimer's disease or one of those 92 side effect symptoms or die from it. Law comes in many forms. There's natural law, and that's the law of gravity. That's a natural law. Then there are God-given laws. You know, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal. And then there are man-made laws. Buckle your seatbelt and drive 55. These laws that you come in contact with every day, laws that regulate life, whether we like it or not. They're a part and parcel with life. So on the Law Hour, we explore a great number of these laws and how they interact with people. In some cases, it's the laws that regulate, say, traffic, driver's license and registration on your car. In other cases, it may be the Civil Rights Act that we're talking about. We may be talking about natural law, like we're doing here. But keep in mind that these laws, whether we like it or not, each and every one of them impact upon all of us. It's the most important topic or subject in life. That's law. That's what we talk about here on the Law Hour. Now, the first sign here, in 1997, Americans spent over $54 billion to buy 14 billion gallons of soft drinks. That is an amount that is equivalent to more than 576 12-ounce servings per year. That's 1.6 12-ounce cans per day for every man, woman, and child. 576 12-ounce cans of soda pop. That's what you're drinking on average every single year. And every year, the sugar amount in those 576 12-ounce cans of soda equals 15 4-pound bags. That's right. You're consuming 15 4-pound bags of sugar. Can you imagine that? 15 4-pound bags of sugar. Let's take a look at another sign. Boys that are 12 to 19 drink an average of almost 2.5 12-ounce sodas. That's 28.5 ounces per day. And this equates to 867 sodas every year. This same age group of girls drink slightly less, but they still drink a large amount. Girls 12 to 19 consume 1.7 sodas per day, or an average of 621 sodas each year. So you're looking at 867 for boys, 621 for girls. And every time they drink a soda pop, that's one less. Isn't it one less glass of milk? One less glass? One less glass of orange juice, of something that's nutritious? And remember that each and every one of these cans that you drink contains added. They put in added caffeine so that we can addict you to this product. We want you to be addicted to the product. Now, the amount of sugar in 867 12-ounce cans of soda is 22.5 4-pound bags. 22.5 4-pound bags. Girls 12 to 19 consume about 1.7 sodas per day, or an average of 621 sodas each year. Boys 12 to 19 drink an average of 2.5, that's 12-ounce sodas. That's 2.5, 12-ounce sodas, 28.5 ounces per day. This equates to 867 sodas per year. So you take a look at 621 for girls and 867 for boys. So girls are drinking 4-pound bags of sugar per year. 16 4-pound bags per year of sugar for the girls. How does this work out when these girls grow up to be mothers, when these girls grow up and they get to be 50, 60, 70 years old, and they end up with osteoporosis? Now, how soda can or soda sizes have changed. Now, the original 1920 size 6.5-ounce glass bottle, back in the old days, back in the 1920s, Coca-Cola was sold in 6.5-ounce glass bottles. In the 1960s, they raised that to 12-ounce aluminum cans. Then in the early 1990s, they brought in the 20-ounce plastic bottles. And in the late 1990s, they raised that to the 1-liter plastic bottles. And the consumption has gone up dramatically. Not only have we increased the sizes, but this increases the consumption. Now, of course, this works out great for the pot manufacturers. After all, their business in life is to sell the product. But unfortunately, the more product you sell, there's a natural law that comes into play here. You know, I would say this, that if 1 liter a day is good for you, wouldn't 2 liters a day be twice as good? It would be even better, wouldn't it? I mean, after all, if aspartame is good for you, wouldn't twice as much aspartame be twice as good? Somehow, along the line, we have given up reason, logic, and common sense. Somewhere along the line, we've missed the boat when we deal with reality. And the reality is, your body, boys and girls, your body can only assimilate so much of this poison and this toxin. Now, if you're wondering why so many people die, so many people are sick, so many people have muscular dystrophy, the answer is, it's the foods that we're eating. If you don't want to change the foods that you're eating, well, don't complain about the diseases that you are suffering from. Why in the world would you want to suffer from the effect that is created by your own hand? Nobody's pouring the soda pop down your throat. Nobody is grabbing you and forcing your mouth open as they pour it in. You are picking up those cans. You are opening those cans by yourself. You are buying those liters and those 20-ounce bottles. You are tipping it up and drinking it all by yourself. There's nobody forcing you to do that. And now I have informed you. I've told you. It's addictive. They're putting caffeine in there so that you'll become addicted to the product so you'll come back and buy more. It isn't that anybody at Coca-Cola is concerned about your diabetes, your health, your heart disease, Alzheimer's disease, or anything else. What they're concerned about is how much profit does this corporation make? We made $4 billion a year in 1997. Last year, we made $2.17 billion. We've got to reverse this slide. We've got to sell more soda pop so we can make more profit. We're not concerned about health. This isn't a health issue. This is a profit issue. You're being exploited. Now, the average amount of sugar in one 12-ounce can of soda is 10 teaspoons. 10, the average amount of sugar. So now I said it was 12. That's because some of them contain more. I got to tell you a little story here. I had a guy come in here one time. He's drinking a can of something. I said, Jolt on the side of it. I'd never seen Jolt before. And I said, well, what is that? And he said, this is Jolt, double the caffeine and double the sugar. I said, you got to be kidding. He said, no. This is a soda pop called Jolt. And it guarantees that it has 20 teaspoons of sugar and 100 milligrams of caffeine. They've doubled it for you. That way you don't need to drink two. You can get the caffeine and the sugar in one 12-ounce can. Instead of having to drink two Pepsis, you can drink one Jolt. You know, that makes about as much sense as saying, I'm not sure that 1.5 grams of arsenic will kill me, so I'm going to double it to 3 and make sure that I do the job. I guess if you want to come down with a degenerative disease like diabetes, I guess Jolt makes all the sense in the world. Yeah, I can see that. Makes all the sense in the world if diabetes is what you want. Now, for a healthy 120-pound person who eats a healthy diet and exercises regularly, drinking one 20-ounce soda every day can contribute enough extra calories to equal 27 pounds a year. It would take 2 hours of moderate walking to burn off the calories from one 20-ounce soda. Now, let's think about this for a minute, pragmatic terms. This is just a matter of law. It's a natural law. I don't make it this way. It's just, here's what it is. You weigh 120 pounds. You're a teenager, weigh 120 pounds. You eat a healthy diet and you exercise regularly. You're out here playing and jogging and doing all the things that a kid does. Now go out and drink one 20-ounce soda pop. Do that every day. And that will equal 27 pounds per year. Now, are you wondering why Americans are fat? 27% of Americans, by the way, are overweight. In fact, I think the term is obese. But in any event, they're overweight. Now, that's more than a quarter of our population that are overweight. I think it's obese. Half the people are overweight. 27% of them are just plain fat. Now, we've already discussed this. You're already drinking, boys and girls, 576 cans of this a day. Now, that's the equivalent of a 20-ounce soda every day, and you're putting on 27 pounds a year. Well, you know, if you do this for 10 years, that's 270 pounds. Now, if you want to burn that 27 pounds off, you're going to have to walk 2 hours. Now, 2 hours is 25% of a working day. You'll have to spend 25% of your working day walking in order to burn off the calories from drinking just one 20-ounce soda. All right, now, a 20-ounce bottle of Mountain Dew contains 19 teaspoons of sugar. And a person who drinks a bottle per day consumes just under 1.4 pounds of sugar per week from Mountain Dew alone. A 20-ounce bottle of Mountain Dew contains 92 milligrams of caffeine. That's nearly equivalent to an adult dose of No-Dose. No-Dose, that's a drug that you buy with caffeine in it. Well, that'll keep you alive. Well, that'll wake you up. That'll get your blood to flowing. That's just one 20-ounce bottle. Now, this Mountain Dew is highly addictive. In fact, they've got a medical term for it. It's Mountain Dew addiction. That's right, Mountain Dew addiction. And if you get onto this Mountain Dew, it's harder to kick the habit of Mountain Dew than it is to kick heroin. Of course, they also tell us that that's the same thing with trying to get off of cigarettes, that it's harder to do than heroin. All right. Now, this week we've been taking a look at soda pop, sugar, aspartame, cyclamates, Splenda. Each and every one of these sweeteners over here is bad for you. So what's good for you? What should you be eating? What could you replace this with? You know, it's harder to tell a person to stop doing something than it is to replace something that's bad for you with something that's good. So if I tell you to stop drinking soda pop, you say, oh, well, what am I going to replace it with? Water out of the tap. I'm not really sure that the water out of the tap is any better for you. It's probably not as bad, even though it's poison also. Let's think about this for a moment. The water that comes out of the tap is laced with chlorine and fluoride, deadly poisons. And that's another story for another day, but those poisons kill also. They also have side effects and diseases. Well, gee, that's not so good, so maybe we should drink soda pop. Well, if you drink soda pop, we've just discussed the amount of sugar and caffeine that are in them, and those cause diabetes. Diabetes now is threatening to become an epidemic worldwide. Well, of course, we're selling soda pop worldwide, and in the United States over the past 20 years, we've doubled soda pop consumption, and we've doubled diabetes. And that's why I said, well, soda pop doesn't seem to be a very good alternative. All right, what else is there? Well, I guess we could drink fruit juices. Well, most of the fruit juices that are out there are sugar waters. Most. Not all, but most. And then when you buy these commercial fruit juices, even if they're 100% orange juice, they've been pasteurized in all probability. And because they've been pasteurized, or if they're being sold, you know, at the restaurant, they have to be pasteurized, they have to be canned, which kills all the enzymes. Once you kill the enzymes, the nutritive value of the food stops. And that's what happens to milk. Once you've boiled this milk, pasteurized it, you've killed the enzyme, which is the enzyme you have to digest it. And this is why so many people are lacto intolerant. I'll tell you plainly, I can't drink milk, I can't eat ice cream. It makes me sick. Of course it does. Because you've taken a wholesome, nutritious food God designed, and you've turned it into a toxic poison. So milk isn't a very good solution. So what else is there? Well, how about coffee? Well, it's got caffeine in it. Not necessarily that caffeine is all bad for you. I mean, after all, you know, caffeine is a drug, and you may need a little drug. Isn't it too much? It's the amount of drug. And when you're drinking that much soda pop and you're taking that much drug, you're almost like a truck driver, you know, who takes a big thermos bottle on board the truck so that he can drink that as he's driving down the road and stay alert and keep awake. He's doing that for a purpose, or he takes No-Dose. So there are limitations then, aren't there, on what you can drink and what you can eat when you go to the restaurant. And most people today prefer to eat in the restaurants than they do at home. We've gone through a metamorphosis here in America. We used to eat at home, and we used to eat pretty healthy. I can remember at 6 o'clock was supper time, and it was part and parcel of the family's activities. Today, everybody's got a car. In those days, we didn't have a car, so we weren't going anywhere. So when Granddad came home, this is during World War II, we sat down around the table, listened to Gabriel Heater in the news, and we sat there and ate dinner. And when we drank milk, it was whole, raw milk. We drank coffee, too, and we had a little bit of sugar, but we had sugar rationing, so we didn't eat very much sugar. So we concentrated on natural foods and natural sugar, which brings us to honey. There is one natural sugar that you can buy and that you can put on your cereal, you can put in your juice, and you can sweeten anything that you want. You can cook with it, you can do all kinds of things with honey. So on the next program, the last one of the series here, I'm going to take up the subject of honey. What's good about honey? And honey represents 0.5% of all of the sweeteners used on planet Earth. Now, if you're an average American, you're consuming 20 pounds of aspartame per year. You're consuming 50 or 60 pounds of sugar just in your soda pop per year. Actually, the amount of sugar that you consume in a year, raw, the refined sugar, is more like 250 pounds. Your body can't tolerate that much sugar, and that's why you're getting diabetes. That's why you're coming down with allergies and diseases. Now, if we wanted to do something about it, then you and I have to do something intelligent and constructive. We have to get in on that 0.5% of the sweetener that's mentioned in the Bible a number of times. a sweetener that you cannot overdose on, a complex carbohydrate that you can eat all you want. And not only won't it poison you, it is actually nutritious and it's actually going to build your body up. Fortunately, honey is a whole lot more plentiful than you might think. If you're buying it out of Kroger's or you're buying it in the supermarket, it's probably branded Sue B. Honey, and it's called Pure. The word pure, P-U-R-E, is always associated with honey. And it's true that the honey that's in the jar is indeed pure honey. But that doesn't mean that the contents of the jar is 100% honey. It's not. It's only 51% honey and 49% corn syrup. So even the honey supply, even the honey, has been perverted and polluted. And it doesn't sugar. Fortunately, though, we can still buy honey. And you, if you'll pay attention, when you go to the health food store, you'll pay through the nose at the health food store, but see if you can find a line, get a line on a local producer that produces raw honey. Now, non-industrial honey, you want raw honey, and you can buy it in 5-gallon cans. You can buy it in gallon cans. You can buy it in quart jars. I have it here that I buy in several forms. It's more convenient in quart jars. In fact, it's more convenient in the squeezed plastic bottles. And this is what you're going to notice with raw honey, and that is it sugars. It gets hard. It turns to crystalline form. And when it turns to crystalline form, that's what tells you that it's raw honey. If it doesn't sugar, if it doesn't turn to crystal, then it's not pure. It has been heated. It can be 100% honey, but it's not raw. It's now industrialized. It's been heated and filtered. And that's what's wrong with it. All right, so next time we'll take up this thing on honey, and I'll show you how to use it, where to get it, and tell you some of the health benefits that come from it. If you're going to change from something, you need to have something to go to. Well, I'm just about out of time. You've been listening to The Law Hour, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour has been brought to you by the Gordon Law School as an educational service in the public interest. Now, for more information about The Law Hour and the Gordon Law School, please go to my website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. And keep in mind that The Law Hour is carried worldwide on the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. And The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. All right, I'm just about out of time. That's the signal that our time is up. Now, we'll have to leave it right there, and I'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing. So until then, goodbye, friends.